We're up to Yeshaya, Perek Chof Zayin, the 40th Shir. Bayomahu, on that day, this is talking in the future, the time will come, Yifkod Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember and bring a punishment, will act on that remembrance. Yifkod Hashem b'charbo hakosha. Hashem will bring a punishment with his harsh sword, v'hagdola, and the great sword, v'hachazoka, and the mighty one. Three descriptions of Hashem's sword. Aliv yosan nochosh bariach, on the great livyosan, the large fish, that's described like a snake. It's the livyosan, this tremendous fish, nochosh bariach, that's like a nochosh, a serpent. Bariach, that's like a bar that you use to bolt the door. V'alivyosan nochosh hakaloson, and on the livyosan, that's a serpent, a kaloson that's twisting, that's crooked. V'horages hatanin asher bayom. And Hashem will kill the fish, the great fish that's in the sea. Pashut, it's describing the nations of the world that are finally going to be given their punishment for all the suffering they've caused to Klal Yisrael. The Mitzuda says it's referring to Yishmael, to the Arabs that seem to spread over the whole world from one end to the other, like the Livyosan that's Mavriach the Yam. The bolt, Livyosan Nochosh Bariach, is like sometimes there's a bar that goes totally across the door and it goes from one doorpost to the other to hold the door securely closed. And Yishmael is like this nation that seems to spread over the whole world. It's like the snake that's a bariach, like a bolt. Other mafosh, and it's livyosan nochash hakaloson, its actions are perverted and twisted. And it's the great sea and the great fish in the seas, referring to the other nations, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the punishment in the end of days. Rashi says it's a description of different nations, nations that are great like Paro, or haughty like Sancheiriv, like the kingdom of Ashur. And the final, the great fish in the sea is referring to Edom, to Esav, the Golos we're under now. The Malbim explains the three descriptions for the sword. One thing is the material the sword is made out of. The material, it's kosha. It's a hard metal. It's a hard, harsh sword. That's what it's made out of. And in terms of the length of the blade, it's gedola. It's a great sword. It's big. It's long. And once it's fashioned into a weapon, it's a chazaka. It's a mighty weapon. So too, it's describing different ways that the goyim, there are certain mighty empires. There are the empires that are mighty because they have fortresses, and they have a strong, they're fortified cities, and it's difficult to conquer. Hashem is going to punish them with his charbo hakosha, his harsh sword that can overcome any other hard and strong fortresses. And there are nations that are mighty because they just spread out over the world. But as far flung as these nations might be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sword that's gedola. It's a great sword, and it's longer, and it's more encompassing than any of these nations could be. And for those that are, it's not necessarily what they're made of or what their cities are or how far they are, but they themselves are now strong and courageous and bold. They're giborim. So for that, the sword is chazaka, it's fashioned into a weapon that's strong, and it'll overcome all these different types of nations. Alivyasa nochash bariach, whether the nation is like a bariach, like a bolt that's hard, alivyasa nochash akaloson, or it's the snake that's bent and twisted, it's so long it seems to go around the whole world. It's as it is in a straight form, it wouldn't fit. It's bent over. Baharaga satani nasher bayom, and it'll kill the great fish in the sea. Bayomahu, on that day, kerem chemer anula, the nations of the world will sing about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, you're a vineyard. You're a kerem chemer that produces fine wine. Kerem chemer anula. We had earlier in Yeshaya, it had a description of Klal Yisrael as a vineyard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with the way the vineyard turned out. In Perek Hay, it says, Ashiran Oli Didi, I'll sing on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiras Dodi Lecharmo. You want to know the song that Hashem has about His vineyard? In Perek Hay. And the Navi continues, Kerem Hoyli Didi, my beloved had a vineyard in the most fertile place. We were in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fence around the vineyard, and He cleared away the stones, and He planted it with the best shoots, and there was a tower. We came from we were selected from the finest vines from the Avos, and we were in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, and it describes how Hashem made this vineyard. Vayakav lasus anovim, and Hashem hoped He would have fine grapes. And what happened was vayas b'ushim. And instead it produced inferior grapes. The vineyard was a failure. After all of that investment, it didn't grow and produce like it should. And over there the Navi says, Hashem said, that's it. What I'm going to do with my vineyard is I'm going to remove the wall. Let the animals come in and trample it. And the vineyard will become a wasteland. It won't be pruned, it won't be hoed. And I'll tell the clouds not to give rain. Since the vineyard wasn't successful, I'm going to stop taking care of it. That was in Perek Hay. In the future, Bayomahu, on that day, Kerem Chemer Anula, they're going to sing about Klal Yisrael, you're a vineyard of fine wine. Ani Hashem Notzra, I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to protect it. Not like in the past where I removed the wall and let the animals trample the vineyard. But no, Ani Hashem Notzra, I'm the one who's going to guard this vineyard. I'll guard it from any outside enemies, from anyone to come in from the outside. L'rigoyim Ashkena, and inside the vineyard, I will water it on a regular basis. L'rigoyim, like every moment, I'll see exactly where it needs the rain, and I'll take care of it. Meaning there'll be Hashpa, there'll be Ruach HaKodesh, there'll be Nevi'im. HaKodesh Baruch will constantly let us feel His presence, and He'll guide and supervise, and we'll be aware of Him. He'll take care of us. L'regoyim Ashkena. Pen Yifgod Aleha. Because I'm concerned, even the olim, even the leaves, Aleha can mean the leaves that grow in the vineyard. Pen Yifgod Aleha, maybe the leaf will fall off, and it'll be lacking something. And of course, if Hashem's concerned with the leaves, certainly with the fruit, the grapes will certainly be cared for. But even the little leaf, pen yifkod aleha, laila v'yom etzrena, by night and by day, I will guard this vineyard. Rashi says a different meaning. This is not in the future, and this is not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will care for us. But ani Hashem notzra, in the future will be this beautiful vineyard. But even now in Golus, Ani Hashem Notzra, I'm the one who protects Klal Yisrael. L'regoyim Ashkena. And whenever Klal Yisrael deserves a punishment, it's not thrown on us like a wall of bricks, but it's in small amounts, in small doses, l'regoyim ashkena, by moments, I water them, I give them that cup of punishment, little by little. Sometimes they suffer here, sometimes Klal Yisrael suffers in a different country, but there's a lull in between the punishments, like v'revach tasimu bein eder v'ein eder, when Yaakov met Esav, and the present was sent in groups as a message that when Klal Yisrael has to suffer from the goyim, but it's in groups, there's a pause in between, there's like two camps, in one place it's difficult, another place we're saved. Ani Hashem notra, I guard Klal Yisrael in Golus l'regoyim ashkena, and whatever cup of punishment, it's done little by little. Pen yifkod oleha, because if I would remember to bring the punishment in one time, chas v'shalom, there'd be total destruction. And therefore, laylo v'yom etzarena, by night and by day, etzarena, I guard it, I have my eye on Klal Yisrael to know how much they can tolerate, how much punishment should be meted out at a certain time, and how to do it in a way that Klal Yisrael should be protected. Another pshat is, if a Kaddish, the Targum says, I guard them, pen yifkod aleha, if not that I had to be concerned with their aveiros that are constantly being done, laylo v'yom etzarena, they would feel my hashkacha, they would feel the supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, laylo v'yom etzarena, night and day I would guard them. But the problem is, pen yifkod aleha, I have this, always aveiros, and there's always, if we'd be deserving, we would feel the hashkacha, and everything would be enjoyable and would be easy, and there wouldn't be punishments at all. Chema einli, Hashem says, Chema einli, I don't have anger, and I don't feel an anger toward Klal Yisrael. And a chema is the type of thing which is an inner anger. We find by Achashverosh v'Achamoso bo'aravo. Vayitzof HaMelech Ma'od. Achashverosh was very angry. That was the anger that everyone could see. He told Vashti to come and she didn't come. So there was an exposed anger that everyone was aware of. Vayitzof HaMelech Ma'od. But inside v'Achamoso bo'aravo, his anger was internal. The Malbim has a whole explanation how Achashverosh had a whole plan why he made this 180-day feast. And there was a whole plan that he had invested so much kochos into. He wanted to show what a mighty monarch he was on his own. And now Vashti refused him. There was an inner chema that not everyone necessarily understood. They just saw Vashti didn't come. They didn't realize how frustrating this was, the inner turmoil that Achashverosh had. But chema einli, Hashem says, I don't have an inner anger. Mi yitneini shomer v'shayis. Who would give me shomer v'shayis is like thorns? If I looked at the vineyard and I said, you know, there's all thorns here and it's such a failure. V'milchama. But if I would have gone to war and said this vineyard is just so full of thorns and there's a chema and anger that it turned out. If that would have been the situation, if so'aba, I would have taken a little step. I would have just gone right over to that vineyard, Atzisena Yochad, and I could have totally burnt it. It would have been totally destroyed. But Chema Einli, Hashem says, I don't have that type of anger. Rashi learns that this is actually an anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm not able to express toward the Goyim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would like to bring the punishment on those who caused us to suffer. And the Geula should come. And Hashem says, Chema Einli. You wonder, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to tolerate all of the injustice done by the nations of the world? And Hashem says, Chema Einli. You know why I don't have an anger? Because me neini shomer shayis b'milchama. Who would just allow me to go against these thorns, to go to war against them? And what's interesting is, I say Rashi mentions v'hu Yishmael. This is referring to Yishmael, to the Arabs. But who would give me that ability to be a shomer v'shayis b'milchama? But I don't have that ability, because the midas hadin, there's a certain justice. Sometimes the world is conducted with midas harachamim, Hashem's mercy. But there's a midas hadin also. Things have to have a certain cheshbon to it, an accounting. There has to be a justice to it. And as long as Klal Yisrael is not the way they should be 100%, the midas hadin objects. V'lo suchal midas hadin limchos. Rashi says, the midas hadin, I just wish the midas hadin couldn't object. She'ashuvu Yisrael b'tshuva. If only Klal Yisrael would do tshuva, v'hino senes osi, and that would allow me to be like the thorns, the shomer v'shayis b'vnei milchama. I could be like the thorns against those that I'm battling with. That the thorns would just crackle and cackle through the fire and quickly burn and spread and destroy the enemy. But I don't have that ability. Because since Klal Yisrael has also sinned, and there's a midas hadin, chema einli. It's like kaviyoch, Hashem feels my hands are tied. I can't express my anger. Because me, neini shomer shayis b'milchama, I just wish I had the chance to save Klal Yisrael and to punish the enemies. I would be able to take up siya, to take that small step, atzisena yochad, and then burn them together. Oh, yachzeik b'mauzi. The truth is, yachzeik b'mauzi, either I would have burnt up the enemies. Oh, yachzik b'mo'uzi, or the alternative is that people should take hold, they should be machzik, they should grab hold b'mo'uzi on my stronghold. I say the Metzudas was learning that chema einli, Hashem says, I haven't had a chema against Klal Yisrael. I've been punishing them, but I don't have a chema, there's no total destruction. Oh, yachzik b'mo'uzi, if only Klal Yisrael would seize hold of my strength, and Hashem oz la'amo yitain mo'uzi, my stronghold means the Torah. Oh, yachzik b'mo'uzi, if only Klal Yisrael would seize hold of my Torah, yasa shalom li, that would make peace with me. There wouldn't be any milchama, there wouldn't be any punishment. Shalom yasa li, and it's repeated to strengthen this idea, the concept that Shalom Yasali, if we just take hold of the Torah, everything would be peaceful and would be good. As Rashi learns, Chema Einli, I'm not able to express my anger against the nations of the world. But O Yachzik B'mo'uzi, if Klal Yisrael would consider their stronghold only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is no other Mo'oz, their stronghold is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. O Yachzik B'mo'uzi, if they would seize hold of my stronghold, if they would know that Hashem is their strength, Yasa Shalom Li, that would make peace for me. Shalom Yasa Li, it would make Shalom. And then there'd be no more punishment, no more suffering. Beginning from Pasuk Vav is the Haftorah of Parshas Shmos. Haboim Yashresh Yaakov. One explanation of this Pasuk, which we'll see a lot of it deals with the punishment that Mitzrayim had by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Haboim. One explanation is Haboim, those that came to Egypt. Haboim, those that are coming. Yashresh Yaakov. Yaakov takes root. Yaakov is Klal Yisrael on their lower madrega. Like he's Vayakveni Zep Hamayim. He ambushed me, fooled me, tricked me. It's Klal Yisrael suffering in Golis on a low level. Yotzi Tzuforach Yisrael. But the result is that they'll bud and blossom. Those roots will bring up fruit and will bring up flowers. There'll be growth. Umolu pnei sevel tenuva. And the face of the earth will be full with Klal Yisrael, like fruit. They'll fill the world with their accomplishments and with themselves, and Klal Yisrael will produce. Haboim, they came to Mitzrayim, those that were that came, Yashresh Yaakov. They were in Golos, they were Yaakov. But they struck down roots. Yotzi Tzuforach Yisrael. And they'll eventually bud and blossom. The Geula will come, they'll become a Yisrael. Umoluf Neisevel Tnuva. And they'll fill the face of the earth like fruit. And we'll see in the later Pesukim how also it's referring to Mitzrayim. But another explanation is, Haboim is referring to the days that are coming. Haboim in the days that come, Yashresh Yaakov. Yaakov will take root. And it could be in Golos. I saw a sefer written by Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch's son on the Haftorahs. And the way he explained it was Yaakov in Golos is like underground. It's like a root. And the world doesn't appreciate it. They don't see the Jews doing anything good. It's like they're not aware of the power of the root. Somebody looks at a tree and he looks to see the fruit. But he doesn't realize it's the roots that make the tree. And we're in Golos in the dirt. Yashresh Yaakov. But the roots of Yaakov, which are not appreciated, are not seen, are not known for what they do. Those days are coming when Yashresh Yaakov, the roots are Yaakov. But eventually, Yotzi Tzuforach Yisrael, and the truth is, even when it is Yashresh Yaakov, the whole world takes lessons from Klal Yisrael. And they're learning from Klal Yisrael, and they gain from the roots of Yaakov. Even now, the world is able to gain from those roots. It reminds me of the Malbim had pointed out in an earlier perek. But it's a fascinating idea, and he wrote that there's two types of goyim nowadays. There are the goyim that aren't aware of anything, and they're still worshipping a multitude of idols, and they still believe in a dozen different powers, or then they have no awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said there are goyim that have learned from Klal Yisrael a lot of the Yisodos HaEmunah, that when Mashiach comes, there are goyim that are on a higher level, and will be able to join Klal Yisrael. They won't be zocha to the same reward like us, but they'll at least be able to attach themselves and join. And the Malbim says, because certain things, there are goyim who believe that there's a creator, there's one God, and they believe that there's reward and punishment, and they believe that that Hashem supervises and knows what they do, and that there'll be a world to come for any injustices in this world. So there's a lot that the goyim have gained from Klal Yisrael. Of course, they're missing the whole the Torah and the whole the other animamins and everything else that gives the true belief. But there are certain things that picked up certain concepts that a person isn't here just to do what he wants and what he enjoys, but a person has to live a moral life. He's here for a higher purpose. Yashresh Yaakov, there are the roots of Yaakov that the world gains from, but they don't appreciate it's coming from Klal Yisrael. They don't appreciate those roots. But Yotzi Tzuforach Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael will bud and will blossom, and then they'll realize Klal Yisrael will reach its true greatness. Umoluf Neisevel Tnuva, and the face of the earth will be filled as with fruit. And Hashem says, Hakamakas Makehu, Hikohu. Hakmakas makehu, like the blows of those who hit Klal Yisrael. The makah, the blow given by makehu, those who hit us. That kind of blow, hikohu. There's two ways of learning this pasuk. One is the way they hit us. Hikohu, Hashem hit them. Hakmakas makehu, didn't Hashem hit like the blow of the hitter, Hiko Hashem hit the enemy. Meaning, the Egyptians threw us into the Yamsuf. Kol Abein Hayilud Hayora Tashlichu. Every child who's born should be thrown into the oar. Hakamakas Makeyu. The way the nations hit Klal Yisrael. Didn't Hashem Hiko who? Hit the Mitzrim. They were also drowned in the sea. Mivchar Shalishav Tubu B'Yamsuf. They were drowned in the Yamsuf. Im Keherig Harugov. Didn't Hashem, the way they were killed, Klal Yisrael, Horog, weren't they killed? Paro killed Klal Yisrael. He killed the Yidden, and they were killed. That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is Hakamakas Makehu Hikohu. Those who started up with Klal Yisrael were destroyed. The Makehu, the one who hits Klal Yisrael, they got a Makah that destroyed them. That never happened to the Jewish people. Hakamakas Makehu, did Hashem strike Klal Yisrael like the way he struck those who struck Klal Yisrael, like the Hakamakas Makehu, like the Makah given to the Goyim, he coded that Hashem hit Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was always treated in a way that they should be able to remain forever. Im Keherig Harugov, those that killed Klal Yisrael were killed and annihilated. Horog, but that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed. That's not the way Klal Yisrael suffered. B'sasa'ah, with the exact same measure, everything is midah k'neged midah. B'sasa'ah is like from the word sa'ah. Sa'ah is a vessel used for measuring things. A large bushel, it's a large container, it's probably many bushels. But a sa'ah, b'sasa'ah, with the same type of measuring bucket, Hashem punishes, gives a punishment, midah k'neged midah. B'shalcha, and one explanation is b'shalcha, when the Mitzrim sent us out of Mitzrayim, they were punished with the same midah k'neged midah. The way they hurt Klal Yisrael, they were punished. B'sasa, with the same measure, b'shalcha, when they sent out Klal Yisrael to Rivena, Hashem contends and quarrels with the goyim and takes up the fight. Haga, Hashem removes them, Berucho Akasha, with a harsh wind, Biyom Kodim, on the day that he brings that east wind, as it says by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayolech Hashem Es Hayom, Hashem brought the sea, Beruach Kodim, with the east wind, Azza, this mighty wind, and he split the sea. B'shalcha, when we were sent out of Mitzrayim, Hashem contended and he fought with Mitzrayim. Ki Hashem nilcham lahem b'mitzrayim. Haga, and he removed the Egyptians, Berucho HaKosha, with his harsh wind, B'yom Kodim, on the day that he brought the east wind and he split the Yamsuf. It was Mida Keneged Mida. The Gemara says in Saita, the Gemara there is discussing a Saita, a woman who's not faithful. And over there the Gemara mentions that everything is done. The Mishnah says on Daf, Chesam et Beis, B'mida she'odam modeid, the way a person measures, the way he acts, and that exact same amount, Ba Modedimlo, that's the way he is dealt with. And the Mishnah and the Gemara gives many examples. He kishtas atzmal avera. This unfaithful woman made herself look attractive in order to sin. So the Torah says, as a sota, she is disgraced. So amokom navla, Hashem disgraces her and makes her look unattractive and disgraced. And the Gemara gives many other examples. She stood by the doorway of the house to greet the people, whoever she sinned with. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has her stand by the entrance in the Beis HaMikdash. She braided her hair to look nice, so the Kohen goes ahead and undoes her braids. And the Gemara discusses this idea of Midah Keneged Midah. And the Gemara says, Minayin Sheba Midah Sha'odah Modeh Bo Modeh Dimlo. How do you know that the way a person acts is the way he's punished, Midah Keneged Midah? And the Gemara brings our pasuk, Shenemar Besasa, with that same measure, Vishalcha Terivena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu contends, and when it's time for the punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the same measure. And then the Gemara questions that Besasa is a very large container. Maybe when a person has done terrible, great sins, he's punished the same way. How do you know every little thing? And the Gemara has psukim that even minor averus are given a minor punishment. Everything has its midah keneged midah. So if so, the Gemara asks, if every little thing is midah keneged midah, what is the meaning of this pasuk b'sasa or b'shalcha terivena? And the Gemara explains a different explanation. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'uma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a nation, or the Gemara says later on, doesn't punish a king. Ad shetiz amalei sa'asa, until the measure is filled, until they've done enough that they finally deserve destruction. Besasa'a, when the full measure is reached, and the goyim have done so much wrong, then b'shalcha trivena, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them away, and He'll contend with them, and then they're given their punishment. Haga brucha hakasha b'yom kadim, they're removed with this mighty wind, the east wind, which fits in with what we said before, with Klal Yisrael, ani Hashem notzra l'ragoyim ashkena. There were different explanations. One meaning was, I guard Klal Yisrael l'ragoyim ashkena, but I water them and I give whatever punishment in small doses. Because Klal Yisrael might be suffering through the centuries, but Klal Yisrael is lasting and existing through the centuries. And this is Golus. And the time span with a view on eternity, as long as it is, it's really just a moment in the time with an outlook toward eternity. But as difficult as it is, and as long as it is, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKamakas Makeyu Hiko, the way I hit those that struck you, I hit them with annihilation. Hiko, Hashem never hit Klal Yisrael that way. It's done gradual, it's done in small amounts. Haga Baruchu HaKasha B'yom Kodim. But the enemy is removed with Hashem's mighty wind. Another explanation is, B'shalcha can mean the produce that grows, what's produced. A Beis HaShlochim is a field that's watered, that it's irrigated. B'sasa'a, it could mean according to the measure of sin, b'shalcha trivena. Hashem first contends and fights against the farmland. First, the produce doesn't grow. Hashem doesn't start off immediately punishing with corporal punishment. First, the person suffers with his possessions. Things go bad. Hopefully, he takes the lesson and he does tshuva. But first, b'shalcha trivena. With what grows, trivena, Hashem gives quarrels with the person. Haga brucho hakosha, and Hashem removes with a mighty wind, Hashem will remove the produce, He'll remove whatever grows, biyom kodim, on that day of the east wind. Lachain, therefore, bezos yechupar avon Yaakov. With this, Hashem, the avon of Yaakov, the iniquity, the sin of Yaakov, will be atoned. And an avon is a sin that's done willfully. It's a greater offense. But even the avon Yaakov, by the punishments that are brought, that wipes away the sin. Yechupar avon Yaakov, the avon of Yaakov will be forgiven. V'zeh kol pri hasir chatoso. And the result of it, the fruits of hasir chatoso, when Yaakov takes the lesson, and they do tshuva, and they want to remove the chatos, what will be the result? V'sumo kol avnei mizbeach. As we found throughout the Nevi'im, the great challenge was Avodah Zarah, was putting their belief and trust in the idols and feeling something else could help them. And we've mentioned that the truth is, to really appreciate Avodah Zarah, we're not able to, because we've never experienced it. The Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah has been removed. In general, people have a need that they want to rely on others, a person knows he needs, and there's a feeling that a person wants to put his trust in a higher being. But the real Yetzer Hara for an Avodah Zarah, that strong urge, doesn't exist. The Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was removed, and therefore, we don't fully appreciate it. But Rav Chanan Wasserman gives an example, just to appreciate the concept, that the truth is, any time a person puts his belief in anything, and he feels that could help him, that's similar to Avodah Zarah. If a person believes that if he has a certain amount of money in the bank, he's safe and he doesn't have to worry. Then he's on easy street. As long as he's got that money stored away, he doesn't have to worry. Everything will be good. Or if a person feels, if only we could bring democracy to the country, or if only we could get a socialist government. He mentions all the different isms and beliefs. Any belief that a person feels will save him is similar to the idea of Avodah Zarah. A person feels, you know, the power that gives us energy is from the sun. So he would worship the sun. And if a person believes that if he would only do this, he'll be safe, without being aware that it's all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing else. That's similar to the idea of Avodah Zarah. But v'zeh kol pri hasir chatoso, the fruit of removing the chatos, when the sin is removed from Yaakov, the result will be obvious. That besumo kol avnei mizbeach, they'll place all the stones of whatever mizbeach, whatever altar, ka avnei gir menu potzos. It'll be like chalk stones, menu potzos, that are smashed and they're ground up. They took these special stones and they made altars out of it. They made the stones of the Mizbeach were strong. And I guess chalk stones are very crumbly, they're weak. But he'll take it and he'll make the stones of his altar like chalk stones that are ground up. Ka'avne gir menu potzos. Lo yakumu asherim v'chamonim. And no longer there'll be the asherim, the trees that are worshipped, v'chamonim, and idols set up toward the Chama, toward the sun. There won't be any more Avodah Zarah, and everyone will believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put their trust in Hashem. It could also be, the pshat is, the Goyim don't realize, Klal Yisrael has been suffering in Golus. HaKamakas Makeyu Mihikohu. The enemies that struck Klal Yisrael are annihilated. But whatever suffering Klal Yisrael is going through, Klal Yisrael is here to endure, to remain. B'sasa, things are mida k'neged mida. But with Klal Yisrael, every little bit, l'rgoyim, ashkena, they're gradually punished. And therefore, lochein, therefore, b'zos yichupar avon Yaakov. As difficult as the gullus is, it's all for Klal Yisrael's benefit. That with this will be wiped away the avon of Yaakov, And the results will be that Avodah Zarah will be totally abandoned and won't be served. Ki'ir Betsura Vadod, the city that's been fortified, Bodod. Rashi learns it's going on the fortified cities of Yishmael. Ki'ir Betsura, their fortified cities, Bodod, will be desolate. Nove, in the dwelling places, the habitations, Meshulach, it's abandoned. Venezov, and forlorn. Kamidbar, like the desert. Shom Yira Egel, and it'll be so deserted, the animals will graze there, the calf will graze. And it's not just on occasion the animal will wander into what used to be the city, but for Shom Yirbats, it'll lie down there, it'll have a certain permanence. V'chilasi feho, and it'll consume any branches, it'll consume the branches of the cities that had been populated by the goyim. Rashi also says Egel, Ephraim, the 10 tribes are referred to as an Egel, ke'egel lo lumod. Ephraim is referring to Klal Yisrael. Shom Yira Egel, Klal Yisrael will take over the cities that were once the great cities of the goyim. So the Ir Betsura, the fortified cities of the goyim, will be bodod, will remain desolate, and will remain forlorn and desolate and consumed by the animals. Bivosh kitsiro tishavarna, and this branch that's eaten by the animals, and then whatever's left over and dried up, bivosh kitsiro, and then the branches dry up, whatever's not eaten and consumed, tishavarna. At that point, it can easily be broken. Noshim bos, women can come, me'iros osa. And me'iros osa, some learn me'iros means they can pluck and pull anything that they want off this branch. Others learn me'iros, they'll use the branch for firewood. Ki lo ambinosu, because they're a nation that has no understanding. Alkein lo yirachamenu oseyu. And therefore, the one who's made him won't have rachmanus v'yotzer lo yichunenu, and his creator won't show chen, won't show any favor. Bivosh kitzira, when the branch dries up, tishavarna. The Gemara learns out in Baba Basra. The truth is, Klal Yisrael, there's, on one hand, There's the count of Klal Yisrael. We're suffering because of whatever Averus. On the other hand, the Goyim, their Averus are accumulating more and more and more. And then all of a sudden, Bisasa, when you have that full container, when they're full of sin, all of a sudden they're destroyed. Bishalcha, Terivena, they're sent out and they're removed with a mighty wind. But in the meantime, their measure is not yet full. They're not yet deserving of destruction. This pasuk says, "Bivosh kitzira," when their branch dries up and they have no more merit, then tishavarna, they'll be broken. And the Gemara says in Baba Basra, on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the following story. It says, "Ifra Hurmiz imei di Shvar Malka." There was a king Shvar Malka, and his mother Ifra Hurmiz. Shadra Arba Mea Dinri. She sent a large amount of money. She sent 400 dinarim, 400 coins, Lekamedra Biami. She sent it to Ravami. She sent him a large present. Velo Kablinu. And he refused to accept it. Or he knew this would be a merit that obviously the king's mother would have, that she helped give money to one of the Tamid Chachamim, the Godel Hador. That she gave it so, or to Tzedakah, Ravami didn't want to take her money. Shadrinu kamei de Rava. So she sent it to somebody else. She sent the money to Rava. Vikablinu. And Rava accepted it. Mishum Shalom Malchus. Because he felt Shalom Malchus to keep peace with the government. This was necessary for him to accept the present. She would be insulted if he refused her money. Shamar Rabbi Ami ikbid. So Rabbi Ami heard this and he was upset. Amar, he said, Leislei Rava doesn't understand this pasuk. He doesn't hold like what the pasuk says. Bivosh kitzira tishavarna. That when the branch dries up, it'll be broken. Nashim bos mirososa. Women can come and kindle that branch, or pull anything off of it. That's when their punishment comes, and you're giving them a zechus by accepting the money. And the Gemara explains, "V'Rava Mishum Shalom Malchus." Rava did it again because he felt to keep peace with the government, he had to accept their money. Rabbi Ami Nami Mishum Shalom Malchus. So the Gemara questions, so why didn't Rabbi Ami understand that? Certain things you wouldn't normally do, but for Shalom Malchus, it's permitted. And the Gemara answers, "Di boile lemiflaginu laniye ovdei kochavim." He should have taken the money and given it to the poor of the goyim. V'Rava Nami laniye ovdei kochavim yahavinu. The truth is that's what Rava did. Rava got the 400 coins and he gave it to poor goyim. Rava Ami de'ikbid hu delo saimua kamei. While Rava Ami didn't hear the whole story, people told him that Rava accepted a present from the goy, and he thought, why is Rava accepting presents? True, Shalom Malchus, you have to accept it, but he should have gone ahead and used it, you know, given it to the Red Cross or something. He should have given it to help support on EA Ovdei Kochavim. And since Rav Ami thought that Rava had taken it for himself, he was makbid. Rashi says, the truth is there's another Gemara that said earlier that if Rahurmi sent money, the same woman sent money, and she sent money with a message that it should be used for a mitzvah rabo. Use it for a great mitzvah. He sent it. In this Gemara, she sent a purse full of dinarim to Rav Yosef on Chesamet Aleph, and she said, use it for a great mitzvah. So Rav Yosef was trying to figure out what's called a great mitzvah. And then he decided, based on a brisa, that pidyon shvuyim, ransoming a captive, somebody who's captured, to free them from captivity, that's a mitzvah rabba. That's what he used the money for. So Rashi says, the Gemara over there never questioned how did he accept the money. There he accepted the money and he used it. So Rashi explains, because of Shalom Malchus, the money had to be accepted. And if the instructions are to use it for a great mitzvah, it has to be used for a great mitzvah. Below Efshalei l'chalkum laniye ovdei kochavim. He wasn't able to give it out to poor goyim. To osur lignov das abrios. Because you're not allowed to fool people. It's called stealing their understanding. Geneva stas. You can't trick them. You can't fool them. Vafilu daito shalovi kochavim. Even if the person isn't Jewish. So if a non-Jew gives money and he says use it for a mitzvah rabba, you have to be honest about it and use it for a great mitzvah. Avo b'mos hamischalkus laniyim. But if the money is given and said to give it out to the poor, ain genevas das, you're not fooling them if you give it to aniye ovdei kochavim, de'inu namu yadi, because the goyim also know, she Yisrael regilim lefarnes aniye ovdei kochavim, that Klal Yisrael takes care of the non-Jewish poor also. So that's not fooling them. When we give stuck and we help out the poor, the halacha is you help out a poor Gentile also. We help them out. So if somebody's given money and told to give it to the poor, we're not fooling them if you give it to Aniye Yovdei Kochavim, because we always help out the poor, all poor people we help out. It's only when the money is designated specifically for a mitzvah rabbah, or if somebody gives you clear instructions, then you're not allowed to do genevas das, you can't fool them, and you have to use it properly. But bivosh kitzira tishavarna, this is the lesson in this pasuk, that when the branch dries up, and when there's no longer any merit, tishavarna, then they'll be broken. Noshim boz mi'iros osa. Women can come and it can mean a nation that's as weak as women. It doesn't require any strength, and they'll be able to come in mi'iros osa. They'll be able to burn these branches. Kilo ambinos hu, but they don't understand. Kilo ambinos hu, they don't understand that their power is all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kein lo yirachemenu oseyu, and if a person doesn't have bina, if a person doesn't have this type of understanding that his power, everything comes from Hashem, so Hashem won't have rachmanis. His maker won't have rachmanis, won't have mercy on that people, the Yotro and its creator, Lo Yechunenu, won't be gracious and won't be giving and won't have favor to them. The Gemara learns out, if somebody, Kol Mi She'en Bo Deya, if a person's able to understand and he doesn't have das and he doesn't care about himself and he doesn't contemplate, he doesn't think about certain obvious truths. If he's a lo ambinos hu, if he's a nation that has no understanding, mi she'en lo deya asur l'rachem alav. It's asur to show him mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects somebody who's able to understand the basic understanding that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person doesn't have that understanding, al kein lo yirachemenu oseyu, his creator won't have mercy on that nation, v'yotro lo yichunenu, and they won't show favor. It'll be on that day, there'll be the ingathering of the Golus. Yachbor Hashem mishibolas hanohar ad nachal mitzroyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will like beat the olive tree to let the olives fall. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strike the goyim to knock out the Jews that are lost in all these different countries. Mishibolas hanohar, those that are by the surging river, the Nahar Pros, the Euphrates River, which is where Ashur is, where the Syrian Empire is, where Aseres HaShvatim were exiled. And Hashem will beat Mishibolas hanohar from the river of Ashur, Ad Nachal Mitzroyim, all the way down to the brook of Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And in this whole area, whether it's in Ashur or whether it's in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strike and bring to be visible the Yidden, Klal Yisrael, Va'atem Taluktu, and then you will be picked, La'achar Echor, one by one, B'nai Yisrael, you'll be gathered in. V'hoya b'yom ahu, and it'll be on that day, Yitoka b'shofar gadol. They'll blow the great shofar. It could mean it's literal, that there'll be an alarm, there'll be a tremendous shofar blown, or it could be it's figurative, that somebody blows the alarm to gather the people. The bell is sounded, but there'll be Yitoka b'shofar gadol. They'll blow the great shofar, Uvo ha'ovdim b'eretz Ashur. And those that are lost, they're called lost because it's already been 100 centuries that they've been lost in the land of Ashur. We're not aware exactly where the Aser Shvatim are. And they'll come. V'hanidochim, and those that are outcasts. Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and the land of Mitzrayim, which is where Klal Yisrael went to Golos. And it's understood the other places were in Golos also. V'yishtachavu l'Hashem b'har HaKodesh. And once again, they will bow down to Hashem, Bahar HaKodesh, on the holy mountain, the Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. The Geula will come, will be gathered from the Golus. Even those that are one Jew here and one family there, and wherever we're scattered in the world, the shofar will be sounded, and we'll all come together to Yerushalayim, Vishtachavu Lashem, and they'll all bow down to show the subservience and the humility that we're all dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll pray and they'll bow down to Hashem Bahar HaKodesh on the holy mountain, Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim.